Hey, Murav Rabbi Yisai, I'd like to welcome this august assemblage to tonight's second Chazara Shir of Contemporary Halacha for the fall 2008 semester. We are, B'li Neder, trying to go through a number of other Shirim. Last Chazara Shir, we went through the Shiurim of Rav Savalovsky regarding Prusbol, and then Rabbi Willig's Shir regarding Grumma and Shabbos and Rabbi Heinemann Ovens. And what I'd like to speak about now is Rabbi Yonason Sachs' Shir about the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. The pashtus is that the mitzvah is really to sit in the sukkah. And when it comes to building a sukkah, that would be a hechsher mitzvah, that would not be a mitzvah itself. However, there's a number of sources that seem to indicate that the actual building of the sukkah is considered a mitzvah. The She'oto says, the Mechayven Beis Yisrael Mebad Mata'alta, that Klai Yisrael is Mechayiv to build a sukkah. Rashi Maseches Makos writes famously that Asiyas HaSukkah is a mitzvah. And then the Tziv developed a Yisod, which is well known in our yeshiva, that Hechsher Mitzvah Kosev Bekra has the same status as a mitzvah. In other words, even though ordinarily the mitzvah is what we perceive the mitzvah to be, and building a sukkah, for example, a Hechsher mitzvah would be a preparatory act, but because the act of building a sukkah is mentioned in the Torah says, Chakas Sukkos Ta'as Alocha, which according to Chazal means to build a sukkah, so therefore that teaches me that the Hechsher mitzvah, building a sukkah, because it's mentioned in the Pasuk, is a more significant type of Hechsher mitzvah and is treated like a mitzvah itself. Other examples of Hechsher Mitzvah, Kosev Bekra, is a mitzvah of Kedushin, which famously there's a machlokes between the Rosh and the Rambam, of course, right? Is there a mitzvah to get married or not? And the Gemara at the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Kedushin tells us that by mitzvahs where it is a Hechsher Mitzvah, Kosev Bekra, we will apply the principle of mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho. That's the way the Netziv understands that Gemara, which is a nafgamina in this conversation. Although the Gemara over there also mentions preparation for Shabbos, the Pashtus is a preparation for Shabbos is not simply a Hechsher Mitzvah Kasa Bekra, but rather the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos requires that the candles should be lit as Shabbos enters. Right? There are two dimensions of Neros. Shabbos is Kavod and Oneg. Reb Chaim is quoted in the stencils as saying that these two dimensions exist. Memela, the Pri Yitzchak, points out in the Tshuva that you are supposed to light candles even before Yontiv, Mishum Kavod Yontiv. Although it's technically permissible to light Neros on Yontiv, but you should light them before Yontiv because that way you're Mekayim Kavod. So again, we have this idea of Hechsher Mitzvah Kasa Bekra, Kedushin, Asiyas HaSukkah, Nafgamina is Mitzvah Bo Yosem B'Shlucha, the Pashtus is a Hachon al Shabbos is not really a Hechsher Mitzvah Kasev Bekra, but it's in fact an independent mitzvah. Now, our practice is a Hechsher Mitzvah Kasev Bekras, even though they are special, still we do not make a bracha on them. However, it's worth noting that the Yerushalmi writes that we do recite a bracha on Asiyas HaSukkah, and the Pashtus is that the Yerushalmi is based on the same idea of Hechsher Mitzvah Kasev Bekra. So that would be a second nafgamina of Hechsher Mitzvah Kasev Bekra. Not only Mitzvah Bo Yosem B'Shlucho, but also the fact that according to Yerushalmi, we recite a Birchas HaMitzvah when you build the Sukkah. Now, we do not hold like the Yerushalmi, but B'Ze'er Anpin we do. Because we paskin that technically speaking, you could make a Shehechiyanu when you build the Sukkah. The Bracha Shehechiyanu doesn't have to be recited on the Yontiv, but there's a Shehechiyanu that you recite when you build the Sukkah. And this, of course, is a nafgamina for us. The general practice is that we flip the brachos between the first night of Yontiv and the second night of Yontiv, right? And the first night of Yontiv, we recite the Shehechiyanu after Kiddush and after Leishir V'Sukkah. Then we recite Shehechiyanu. Second night of Yontif, we recite the Shehechiyanu beforehand. What's the basic cheshbon over here? The basic cheshbon is that it could be that we were yotzei the Shehechiyanu already out the yeshiva b'sukkah, and the Shehechiyanu that we're making the second day is only a Shehechiyanu on Yontif. Because the Shehechiyanu of yeshiva b'sukkah, we might have been yotzei erev Yontif, right? Again, the second day of Yontif, that means the first day of Yontif is possibly erev Yontif. Al Safik, so I was yotzei the Shehechiyanu at that point. Now, There's a few other rayas in Shas that there is a mitzvah to build the sukkah. The Gemara in Shavuos has a striking lashon of sukkah sha'ani osa. That's the lashon of the Gemara. It sounds like the Shavuot I'm taking is not to build a sukkah. Again, we see that building a sukkah is a mitzvah. Also, we see in Shulchan Aruch the fact that in the last din in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim is that you're supposed to go from a mitzvah to a mitzvah. Right after Yom Kippur, you're supposed to put the schach on your sukkah, no? As the postman says, you're supposed to have your sukkah built before Yom Kippur. And right after Yom Kippur, put the schach on. Right? So why am I doing that? What type of mitzvah is that? I'm supposed to go from a mitzvah to a mitzvah. What mitzvah is there involved in putting my schach on the sukkah? What's that? Yom Kippur, right? So the answer is that no, there's a inyan of hechsher mitzvah kasev b'kra of building the sukkah, putting the schach on is actually considered building the sukkah. Similarly, sukkah yeshana mechadish b'davar, the gemara, the beginning of sukkah seems to indicate that there's an element of being mechadish because it's a hechsher mitzvah kasev b'kra, and that's why you have to do it yourself. Now, generally speaking, right, that's point one that Rav Sacks made in the shir. Point two that Rav Sacks made in the shir was about the mitzvos tzrichos kavana, or whether mitzvos is not tzrichos kavana. That's a general machlokas by all mitzvos. In Shulchan Aruch Siman Samach, we discuss that. Right? There may be a split with halacha, that mitzvos d'oraisa, mitzvos d'rabbanan, right? Fine. What's interesting is that the Bach Paskin is that by the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah, in addition to the regular din of mitzvos tzrichos kavana, which is kavana that when I'm doing it, I have in mind I'm doing it l'shem mitzvah, but in addition to that, the Bach Paskin is a special mitzvah by the sukkah to have in mind that I'm sitting in the sukkah l'man yedu derosechen kibasukos hashavtis b'nei Yisrael b'hotzios ameres Mitzrayim, to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in sukkahs when we left Mitzrayim. Now, it's interesting, the Bach's Raya is because the Torah usually only quotes dinim that are nogei l'maisa. Yet the Torah begins Hilchos Sukkah by saying that Yishanu l'man yidu d'orosechen kibasukos hashavti refers to the Anane HaKavod. It's a machlokes in the Gemara. Sukkos Mamash, Anane HaKavod, the Torah Paskins, Anane HaKavod. Frek the Bach, why is the Torah Paskining Anane HaKavod? Who cares? Answer is no, there's a big nafgamina. The nafgamina is, in terms of my kavana, right, that according to the Bach, I have to have kavana for the Anane HaKavod. If I don't have kavana for the Anane HaKavod, then I'm not Yotze. Now the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bach here, and in Hilchos Tefillin, and in Hilchos Tzitzis, right? Three places. All those three mitzvahs where it says Laman, Mishnah Rav quotes the Bach, because, right, it says Laman by Tzitzis, Laman Tzitzis is called mitzvos, right? To remember all the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says Laman by Tefillin, Laman Tia, Taras Hashem Ficha. So by those three mitzvahs, Mishnah Rav quotes the Bach, but Mishnah Rav says that we don't really pass him like the Bach. The Bach is not Ma'akev Me'ikar Hadin. It's a nice thing, it's a hiddur, L'chatchila, you should do it. I noticed that Rav Moshe Sternbach actually has a tshuva that the Yehi Ratzon that's printed in the Siddurim before you put on the talus is ruining it. Because the Yehi Ratzon that's printed in the Siddurim doesn't mention anything about that when I put on the talus I should have in mind Laman Tizkeru as Kol Mitzvos Hashem. And according to the Bach, that should really be, if you're going to say Yehi Ratzon before you do it, right? And those people didn't like saying these L'shem Yichas and Yehi Ratzons, but if you're going to do it, you're going to say it, so you should get it right. So you get the Bach. That's from Moshe Sternbach Sa'ara in one of the Tshuvas. Okay, so Mishnah Berurah says, we don't really paskin like the Bach. Good. Fine. The Aruch Lener, Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, who, according to some, gave smicha to Rav Shamshon before Hirsch, although no one ever saw Rav Hirsch's smicha. People know that Rav Hirsch's smicha was burned in the same fire where all of his Chayshim Mishpat Shuvas were burned in. I've already been on record as being skeptical about this story, so I guess it's okay to be on record again. Don't tell anyone on the other side of the Heights that I said this. So, Rav Yaakov Etlinger, who wrote the Aruch Lener, who points out that he thinks that the Bach is Mamish Ma'akiv Me'ikar Hadin, and not only is it Ma'akiv Me'ikar Hadin, but that's the pshat in the first Mishnah in the Sukkah, because the Mishnah in the Sukkah says that you can't have a Sukkah Gavoa L'mayla Me'esrim Ahma. Why not?
Didn't the Bach himself mean himself?
The Bach meant that's Ma'akiv, right? The Aruch Lener has a raya to the Bach in the first Mishnah. And he paskins that's Mamish Ma'akiv, right, based on this raya, because Sukkah L'mayla Me'esrim Ahma, you're not Yotze, because we'll shout to the Eina. What does that mean? Why do I have to notice I'm in the sukkah? Teretz is the Bach. If I don't notice I'm in the sukkah, so I'm not going to have proper kavana for the sukkah and to remember the Anane HaKavod, and then I'm not going to get the mitzvah at all. That's our point there. Take it's an interesting raya. Halacha l'maisa, in terms of mitzvah tzrichos kavana, There's a tremendous chiddush that's worth mentioning.
Is that an indisputable pshat?
I mean, Rabbi Sachs didn't mention a way to dispute it. Offhand, I don't know a way to dispute it.
The shat about Eina is that you'll see it as chach.
Right. No, but... And let's say
what
I don't... Why is this sukkah puzzle? Why is the sukkah puzzle if it's too tall? Let's say I don't see it. So, according to the Bach, it's beautiful, because I don't see the sukkah, so I'm not going to... My mind won't be triggered to think about everything that sukkah represents.
Okay, well, right, but it doesn't matter what it represents. It could represent sukkah's mamash, and your mind's still not triggered.
Oh, okay, so... But the point is that it has to represent... Whether it represents sukkah's mamash or anani ha-kavid, the fact is the Bach says if I think about the inyan ha-sukkah, I'm not yotzei the mitzvah. And that... When the Gemara says, "Well, shalta ve'ena passes a sukkah," that seems to indicate like the Bach. That's all the Aruch Maner is saying.
The Gemara never says that part.
The Gemara never
suggests that you might be sitting in the wall, in the shade of the walls.
And that's another day in the Gemara.
That's another
opinion, right? Let's go on. So now, Mishnah Berurah has a big chiddush in the Bir Halacha where he says that, let's say I sit in the sukkah and I don't have kavana, but kavana type A. I don't have kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah. Zok the Mishnah Brura. So if I don't have kavana for the mitzvah, so then I end up violating the iser of eating outside of a sukkah. Or if I don't have kavana for the mitzvah of tzitzis, so I end up violating the iser of wearing dalet kanfos without tzitzis. The Bir Halacha really passing this way. It's a collector's item, but it's there. It's a tremendous chiddush, no? That my lack of kavanah l'shem mitzvah could have some impact on the chafza. Right? L'mais, I'm inside a sukkah. L'mais, I'm wearing tzitzis. But if I don't have kavanah, it's ke'ilu, I'm not wearing tzitzis. It's ke'ilu, I'm not sitting in the sukkah.
Is that all day long?
Could be. Mishnah Berurah really says this. Now, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in a tshuva in Mincha Shlomo Chelek, I found this one, actually. Chelek Beis Simen Dalet, I believe. Reb Shlomo Zalman Tain is that, listen, you don't have kavana for the mitzvah, but who says it's outside of the sukkah? It's a tremendous chiddush in the Mishnah Berurah. Reb Shlomo Zalman doesn't really believe it.
Could you repeat this,
I believe it's Chelek Beis Simen Dalet in the Mincha Shlomo. No, I'm sorry. No, that's a different one. It's Chelek Aleph, Simen Aleph. It's the first Mincha Shlomo. It's the first tshuva in Reb Shlomo Zalman Aruch. Right, thank you. Chelek Aleph, Simen Aleph. Right, this is the first tshuva in Reb Shlomo Zalman Aruch.
Wow.
That he disagrees with the Bir Halacha. Now, this idea that the chefts of the mitzvah could be ruined, so to speak, by something might also be the pshat in the Machlokas HaRishonim about whether you gain anything by eating in the sukkah the first night when it's raining. Right? Remember that we equate sukkahs to Chag HaPesach. By Chag HaPesach, I have a mitzvah to eat matzah no matter what. Laila HaRishon of sukkahs, so I have a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah no matter what. Right, so even if it's raining, some say there's no Ptur Mitzda'er the first night of Sukkot. Right, that's why, as a kid, I always wanted this. No, it should be raining the first night of Sukkot, so you have to wait up till Chatzos. This is every kid's dream. Right, wait till Chatzos. So, Lamaisa, the Rishonim really dispute this. Taisus and the Ran dispute this point. Whether I should sit in the Sukkot while it's raining. What's the Machlokas? Well, Chor, the Machlokas is, on the first night of Yontiv, that if it's raining, it could be that it's not a Shem Sukkot at all. And that's why they explained in Lomdus. I remember as a kid, though, one of my rebbeim in yeshiva, Moshe Brown, pointed out that this pshat makes absolutely no sense. Because if I assume that when it's raining, it's not a shem sukkah, so that means when it stops raining, it's tasav lo min osli. Right?
Uh-huh.
So that's not really true, though, because we paskin in Hilchos Mezuzah, that we'll talk about next semester, Mitzvah Shem, that tasav lo min osli is only a problem if the original asiyah is done improperly. But if the original asiyah is done properly, then it becomes improper. Let's say I have a mezuzah that's banked improperly. Then the whole thing, the whole mezuzah comes off the wall, including that scroll of parchment that we call a mezuzah. Right? The mezuzah is really the post. The whole thing comes off. It was up properly. The whole thing comes off. So I put it back on. So the achreinim seem to assume that's not a problem. Tassav Roman Osli. Once it was done mitchila behechsher, it's not a problem. This is a ripe area for lumdus. The only shir I ever heard from Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, Zechariah Levracha, was on this topic. Okay. Now, Tosfos in Sukkah asks Akasha. So that's point two of Rabbi Sachs' shir. Point one was about the mitzvah asiyah sukkah. Point two was about the mitzvah srichas kavana, a few ha'aris in that. The third point that Rabbi Sachs made was in terms of Tosfos' kasha about sukkah gezula. In other words, we know that sukkah gezula is no good. Why not? The Gemara has a pasuk, l'cha. It has to be your sukkah. For Tosfos, why do I need the pasuk? Typically, because it is mitzvah babavera. Right, so Tosfos has a chiddush, and mitzvah babavera is only drabanan, and Tosfos is so that point later on, mesecha sukkah. Right, this is all the longness about mitzvah babavera. And the Minchas Chinuch has a famous answer that mitzvah babavera is only when the mitzvah is something that you really want, but mitzvah of sukkah is not that. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to eat in the sukkah, Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us not to eat outside of the sukkah, so therefore there's no din mitzvah babavera. That's a famous Minchas Chinuch. But the Ritva is an interesting answer. The Ritva answer is that mitzvah babavera doesn't passel all mitzvahs. Mitzvah babavera only passels, what's the makar? The makar of mitzvah babavera is a pasuk. Vavesem, gozo, sepiseach, seiver, right? So the pasuk is by Karbanus. Karbanus is bala ratzoi. It comes with ratzon, lefnei Hashem. The Gemara also says mitzvah babavera by tkiya shofar. Tkiya shofar, it's kiel, it's kiel lefnei v'lefnim dami, the Gemara says, right? It's also bala ratzon. What?
Leratzos,
yeah. It comes as a sort of... Huh?
That's the Ritva.
That's what the Ritva says. The Ritva writes in Maseches Sukkah that we only apply mitzvah haba va'aveira on those mitzvahs which come l'ratzos. L'chayra, therefore, mitzvah va'aveira, according to the Ritva, wouldn't pass on a sukkah. Because sukkah is not for l'ratzos. Rabbi Sachs wanted to say in a beautiful piece of hashgafa at the end of the shir is that maybe there's room to debate this point that the Ritva is making. Maybe sukkah is also balaratzos. You see, the Vilna Gaon writes in his Pirush on Shir Hashirim that the Anane HaKovid, which is the basis of sukkah, right? We spoke about the Bach, the Anane HaKovid, and it might be Ma'akev. So the Anane HaKovid left Klal Yisrael at the time of the Chet HaEgel. But they came back. They came back on Tes Vav Tishrei, which is sukkahs. And that's the Yontif HaSukkahs. The Yontif HaSukkahs is to mark the fact the Anane HaKavod came back. Now, why did they come back? They came back because, to a certain extent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave our Avera of the Chet HaEgel. Rav Osher Weiss pointed out to Rabbi Sachs that this is the Goyin L'Shitaso, because in the Siddur HaGra, right, in Atav V'Chartanu, the Tuv Atav V'Chartanu, he writes that V'Rotzisa Banu is on the Yontiv of Sukkos. What do you mean for Ratzisa Banu is on Sukkos? No, the Peshat is this idea that the Sukkos itself is Ratzon. The Sukkos itself represents the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us. Interestingly, at the beginning of the Torah, Sukkos is always called the Yontiv of Chag HaOsef. Only later on, after Chet HaEgel, after the Kapara, apparently for it, or this Mixas Kapara, is it called Chag HaSukkos. Perhaps this is the Peshat why Tosfos asks Akasha, that maybe we should say Afin Hoyuba also Hanes by Sukkah. Right, it's a discussion in Tosfos. Maybe Afin Hoyuba also Hanes doesn't help by Doraisas. Right, tells us in Megillah at the beginning, tells us elsewhere. So perhaps the idea is that no, if the whole Yontif of Sukkos is coming L'Ratzos on Chet HaEgel, it shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Chet HaEgel, so the Noshim weren't involved in Chet HaEgel. So Memela, they don't need the Sukkah as a Kapara. Perhaps this is the pshat, just to be gomer kein hapsicha, this is the pshat in why there's dinim in asiyas hasukkah. Because asiyas hasukkah represents v'ratzisa banu. It represents the fact that there is kapara. It's not the yeshiva in the sukkah, but that Kodesh Baruch Hu built these sukkahs. He returned these anane hakavet. It's the actual construction of them, the returning of them, that represents the kapara. So this is what I gained from Rabbi Sachs' share. Anyone have ha'aris on this, or should we move on?
Just a tiny ha'ara on the end. Is that the mitzvah is the only Kavod, the returning of God's presence happened on Sukkot because it was the first day of the erection of the tabernacle in the wilderness.
Sukkot was the beginning of the Mishkan, yeah.
That's why God's presence returned. They got the Torah for the second time, the Ten Commandments
on
Yom Kippur,
right?
Which is the
oh, I see.
First
okay.
day. Then they had the command the next day. They had the command to start building the Mishkan. They collected the materials. And then when they were done, they got to the
Yeah, Rabbi Sachs did not mention that point. That's your own.
It is? Okay.
I think so. Did he?
I don't know.
I don't remember him.
It's not in my notes from his share, but...
Okay.
So that's the construction of the Mishkan, which brings God back.
Excellent.
Even if what we're remembering is the Anan HaKavod of God.
Okay, Rabbosai, let's now move on to Rabbi Adler's shiur. It was a brief shiur about the Piyutim of Yamim Norayim. The Piyutim of Yamim Norayim, what's the purpose in reciting Piyut? So there are really two purposes of reciting Piyut. The Rav always pointed out that we recite Piyut because it helps us be Margish Kedushas Hayom. When I say these additional liturgical hymns, right, we actually feel more Yontifik, especially if you daven in Breuers. Right, so they have different tunes for every piyut at every time of the year. You're mamishing, what come? You're like humming there, nigunim it, right? You feel yontiv dik. That's one pshat. The other pshat is that by reciting piyut, what we're really doing is we're being osik in Talmud Torah. The Sefer HaItim writes that the piyut was instituted b'shas hashmad when we weren't allowed to learn Torah. So what we did is in order to learn the halachas of the yontiv and to be mekayim or neshalim paras vasenus through the Talmud Torah of the yontiv. So what we did is we recited piyut. Right? Many of the piyutim for that reason are halachic piyut. Tosis often quotes some of the piyutim. The piyut for Shabbos Hagadol famously is quoted by Tosis. It's a halachic piyut. We're learning halacha from the piyut. The piyutim are divided up into different groups. There are yotzros which are recited during tefillah shacharis. There are ma'aravos which are recited during Mariv, Mavarovim, and then we also have piyutim which are called krovos. We're not exactly sure what krovos means. The Beis Yosef says that the term comes from Kol Rino Vishua Ba'ohalei Tzadikim, so it's really krovets with a tzadi. Others understand that krovos, that Abu Shraham has, that krovos means that the Shliach Tzibor is B'makom L'Kohen, who's makriv, krovos. He's being makriv on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Others say that krovos, it's because it's bikrav, it's be'emtza hatfilah, it's right in the middle of the davening. There are also piyutim, in addition to yotzros and ma'aravos and krovos, there's also what's called reshuyos, when we say, like in Yom Nerayim, mochilo lakeal, right? All of the piyutim that the shat says to begin his tefillah, those are technically reshuyos. Piyut is ordinarily based on Lashon HaTanakh, it's based on Midrashim, and in fact, piyut has been very controversial. The Ibn Ezra, in his Perush on Sefer Koheles and Perek Hay, on the Pasuk Atvahel, Picha v'lipcha yimaher, v'otzidol v'nei Elokim, so the Ibn Ezra comments that there are four problems that Rebbe Elazar HaKalir had with piyut, or I should say that there are four problems that the Ibn Ezra has with the piyut of Rebbe Elazar HaKalir and the other Paitanim. Four different problems. The first one is that most of the piyutim is chidos u'mishalem, and it's not clear. You read a line in piyut, you have no idea what it means. It's just not clear. Zok the Ibn Ezra, go through Tanakh, all the tefillos in Tanakh are abundantly clear. You know exactly what they mean when they're davening. Second time that Ibn Ezra has is that piyut is a mixture of Lashon HaTalmud and Lashon HaKodesh and foreign languages. Says the Ibn Ezra, why should we pray in foreign languages? We should pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Hebrew. That's his second time now. Moreover, the third time that the Ibn Ezra has is that even those piyutim that are in Hebrew, it's not really in Hebrew, it's kind of pig Hebrew, pig Latin Hebrew, like messed up Hebrew. Right?
They're taking lots of liberties,
right? Instead, he makes fun of a piyut of Rebbe Elazar HaKalir. Rebbe Elazar HaKalir uses the word ansicha. It says ansicha, it should be asicha or asich, but it's ansicha, nesech. What's that nun doing there? What's the hay doing there? It's just not diktuk. He says, poetry, stuff has to rhyme. When was the last time a prophet spoke in rhyme? Nevi'im don't speak in rhyme. Why do you have to be better than the Nevi'im? Moreover, the Ibn Ezra Taina is that Piyot, the fourth Taina, right? The fourth Taina of the Ibn Ezra is that Piyot is based often on drushos of Midrashim, it's based on Agados, and Zak the Ibn Ezra, ain Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto. Right? Pshuto Shamikra is really what's binding. So, you speak Pshuto Shamikra. Why are you doing Piyot? Those are the four Tainas that the Ibn Ezra has against Piyot. Zak the Ibn Ezra, are you going to tell me that if you're going to write Tfilos in the Lashon of Midrash? So he says, according to the Medrash, every time the word Shlomo appears in Shir HaShirim, it's Kodesh. Right? So you can tell me if I say Baruch Atah Shlomo, that is legitimate bracha? Because Shlomo is Kodesh? Right? It sounds like you're blessing some guy named Shlomo. Right? It doesn't work like that. We don't daven. Tefillah is not based on the Lashonos are found in Midrashim. Now, the Maharal of Prague in the Siv HaAvoda Perek Yud Beis argues with the Ibn Ezra. The Maharal defends Piyot. He has one basic response to all the four Tainas of the Ibn Ezra. His Ibn Ezra, your Taina is that the Hebrew is messed up and it sings Rash instead of Mikra Yod Zim Yipshuta, and how come there's other languages thrown in and how come it's so hard to understand? It's like the Ibn Ezra, Piyot isn't pure Tefillah. Piyot is really Shira V'Shevach. And Shira V'Shevach happens when a person is mitoch simcha, v'libo pasuach, v'lochein maflig b'davar. People feel very elevated and they exaggerate and they use terminology that they don't usually use. That's Piyot. So therefore the diktuk isn't correct, and therefore you throw other languages in because you're saying it because you're on the high. It's Shira. That's the Maharal's defense of Piyut. Piyutim are most often done v'loshon aniyah v'amira, which means that the chazan says one thing and then the tzibor recites the next and the one after as well, and the chazan says number two, right? That's derech aniyah v'amira. For this reason, many of the piyutim, like the piyut of Melech Elyon that Rabbi Adler analyzed at the end of the shiur, these piyutim are recited not in the way that they were written, right? We recite all of those piyutim, La'adei Agimloch Melech Elyon, but really the way it's printed in the Machzor and the way it was written is that Melech Elyon begins each of the stanzas. The Rav pointed out that Derech Aniyah V'Amira is also part and parcel of being a Dorosh HaBekdusha. All Dvarim HaBekdusha recite Derech Aniyah V'Amira. This might be why you stand up for reciting some of the Piyutim, because Dorosh HaBekdusha is supposed to stand up. It has nothing to do with Aron Kodesh being opened. Right? Aron Kodesh is in a different Rishus. Technically, you don't have to stand up when Aron Kodesh is opened. Now, who are these Paitanim? Who are these great poets? So there are different ones. There's Yanai was a great Paiton. Reb Elazar HaKalir, according to Taisus, was a Tana. We're not exactly sure which Reb Elazar HaKalir was. It might have been Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. It might have been Reb Elazar Ben Arach. But because he was a Tana, that's why Reb Elazar HaKalir has no piyutim for the second day of Yontiv, because Bizmano there was no second day of Yontiv. There's still Mekadosh Al Pi Ra'iya. It's only one day of Yontiv in Eretz Yisrael. If that's the case, so then the piyut of the second day of Yontiv that we have is not piyut of Reb Elazar HaKalir. It was written by other Paitanim. We tried to mimic Reb Elazar HaKalir. So, for example, the piyut va'adei agimloch melech elyon on the first day is Reb Elazar HaKalir's piyut. It has six stanzas. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, the piyut is written by Reb Shimon HaGadol, mimicking Reb Elazar HaKalir, but it has four stanzas, four parts to each stanza rather than six. These are some of the points that he made. This Reb Shimon HaGadol, who was a famous Paitan, lived at the time of Rabbeinu Gershom Ar HaGola, which is about the year 950 until 1020, Limes Param, and one of his sons, according to tradition, became the Pope. That is Reb Shimon HaGadol. Now, there is also a large discussion, a large halachic discussion about Piyut. In Shulchan Aruch Simen Samaches, the question of reciting Piyut comes up. The Torah points out that you should say Piyut, but he quotes that the Rama said not to say Piyut. The Mechaber says not to say Piyut. The Rama defends the recitation, the piyot. What are the grounds for this? What's this machlokes? So the first issue centers around the Mishnah and Brachos, where the Mishnah and Brachos says, "B'makom she'amru laharich in rishay l'katzer, l'katzer in rishay laharich," which many Rishonim understood meant that if a bracha is a short bracha, I can't make it a long bracha. So therefore, I can't say piyot. If I add in this whole massive piyot, so I'm going to end up taking a short bracha and making it long. Other Rishonim disagree and say, no, you messed up the pshat in the Mishnah. Right, what the Mishnah
was that?
What?
Whose pshat was that?
That was the Ramah. When the Ramah opposed reciting piyot, it was based on pshat in that Mishnah.
Not the Ramah.
The Ramah. Rameya Balafia Halevi. He died in the year 1244.
Yarmah.
Yeah. Right, so that's the Ramah. Now, other Rishonim said that's not the pshat in the Mishnah at all. When the Mishnah says, what that means is the type of bracha that it is. A bracha arucha is a bracha with a specific format. It begins baruch and it ends baruch. It doesn't mean a long bracha. It could be a very long bracha and technically be a bracha kitzara. Because I only begin with baruch. I only end with baruch. Right? A bracha arucha means it begins and ends with baruch. So I can't take away an extra baruch or add an extra baruch. And therefore there is no raya. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, this conversation about Makom She'amru L'Harech in Rishay L'Katzer doesn't make it to the page. When the Mechaber opposes the recitation of Piyot, he opposes it based on Hefsek. Zok the Mechaber, don't say Piyotim because it's going to end up being a Hefsek. It's Ke'ilwa. Now, I can't talk in middle of davening. I can't talk, let's say, in Birchas Krishma. Yoitzus in middle Birchas Krishma. I can't talk then. Right? So there's no heter to just start talking about how great the yontif is. It's talking. It's tamazoy shmuzing. What's the heter? It's a hefsek. That's what the mechaber holds. The Rama, however, disagrees, and the Rama says, no, you can defend piyot. It's maybe not a hefsek. Even if you're not so comfortable saying it, you shouldn't be mishana from the minhag. You shouldn't be learning when everyone's saying piyot. That's a comment of the Rama. What's interesting is, in terms of analyzing this question of hefsek or not, the Nitziv points out in the Tshuva, in the Meshev Dovar, Simin Yud Gimel, that there are three different minhagim in Klal Yisrael about how to say piyot. Minhag number one is that you say all piyotim. That's what they do in Breuers. They say everything. Yaitzvus and Kravitz and Aravos and, right? Davening could be pretty long. They say every single piyot. Minhag number two is that you recite the Krovot, and you don't recite the Yotzros. You only recite those piyutim that are Bekarov, in the middle of the davening, in the middle of the Shatz's davening. You don't recite the Yotzros. Then there's a third minhag, that you recite Yotzros and Krovitz, but you only recite them on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and possibly Shmini Atzeres also. And right, so that's interesting. What's the hesber of these three minhagim? Right? Why? Right? What's the hesper? So Zak the Nitziv, that he thinks this depends on Tysus's kasha. Tysus asks a kasha that the Gemara tells us that la'achar tefilaso afilu rotze laharich, as long as you want. After davening, you can mamish say like seder vidu of Yom Kippurim, say anything you want after davening. Tosfos says, you know, that Gemara implies that during davening I shouldn't be marech. Right? If I can only do it after davening, Right? So I shouldn't do it at other points in davening. So what's the hesber? What's the hesber for the heter to add these things in? That's Tosfos' kasha. So Tosfos gives two answers. The Nitziv actually points out these two answers are different. The Beis Yosef says that they are really the same answer. It's two different Tosfos in. One's a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, one's a Tosfos in Brachos. And Tziv thinks if you read the Tosfos in carefully, they're saying two different things. One Tosfos makes a distinction between Tzarchei Rabim and Tzarchei Yochid. I'm not allowed to daven for myself, for personal needs, but I am allowed to daven for Tzarchei Rabim. Another Tosfos doesn't distinguish between Tzarchei Rabim and Tzarchei Yochid. The Tosfos distinguishes between the Shatz and the Yochid. What's the difference between Tzarchei Rabim and Tzarchei Yochid versus Shatz and Yochid? And Nitziv is saying these are different. Okay, it sounds very similar. Zaknin Tziv, no, you have to read the whole Taisus together. If you read the whole Taisus, what Taisus is really saying is that the Taisus that says Sarfei Rabim is doing in Sarfei Yachid, Taisus is also Megal on reciting Zachareinu and Micha Mocha. Now, Zachareinu and Micha Mocha is a very big problem because even though the Gaonim instituted it, but that's in the first three brachos of Shemona Esrei, then that should be a time that you're not allowed to recite anything extra. So what's after to say Zachareinu and Micha Mocha? So Taisus says, yeah, Tzarchei Rabim is different, right? We don't daven, right, like Chassidim, Zuchreini L'chaim, right? We say Zuchreinu L'chaim, right? We're davening for all of Klal Yisrael, right? It's not Lashon Yachid. So that's why even Gimel Rishonos is permitted. But the other day in Taisus, the day that says that the heter is because of the Shaliach Tzibor, so Taisus doesn't deal with the issue of Zuchreinu L'micha Mocha. What's the pshat? How come it's mutter to say Zachin Micha Mocha according to the other day in Taisus? Taisus doesn't tell us. And the Tziv suggests that maybe there's a razzle-dazzle chiddush of the Netziv, Zachin Netziv, that maybe it's mutter la'asos shelo al-pidin la'afushe rachamei. Right? We're violating the halacha. We're taka saying stuff in Gimel Rishonos that you're not supposed to, but it's Yom HaDin, it's Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Kippur. Lafushe rachami, to add rachmanis, it's permitted to violate the din. Mashal ma'adav v'dome, the fact that you're allowed to fast at Tanis Chalom on Shabbos. It's all in the Netziv. I'm not making this up. It might sound like Reform Judaism, no? Right? You're allowed to fast at Tanis Chalom on Shabbos. Mashal ma'adav v'dome is like the Netziv. It's also like blowing Tekiyas de Miyusha before Tekiyas de Me'umar. You're violating the din, because the din is you're supposed to blow shofar only al Seder HaBrachos. How can we do it beforehand? La'afushe rachami, it's mutter to violate the din in order to be ma'arbe of the satan. Whoa, this is cool, right? Simen Yud Gimel in the Meshiv Dafar. Rabbi Adler had in this packet, he didn't speak this truth out in the shir, but I thought it was kedai to mention that because it's really interesting. So what emerges from this netziv is that really there are two totally different mahalchim as to what is the heter to be marith and piyutim. Is the heter because the shaliach tzibor could do it, but that should only be matir the middle of davening, or is the heter, like Taisa says, that tzarchi rabim is okay? This could be the pshat in, one second, you'll get it better in a second, this could be the pshat in the various minhagim. Which piyutim do I say, which piyutim don't I say? So one minhag is that you say all piyut. Okay, that assumes that nothing's a hefzik. The other minhag is that we recite, minhag two, is that we recite krovot, but we don't recite yotzus. What's the pshan that minhag? Pshan that minhag is that, you know, we're going to be okay with saying the krovot because it's considered sarchei rabim. Sarchei rabim is a good heter.
The krovot or the yotzus?
The Krovitz. Yotzris is not in Middle Shemoneh Esrei. Yotzris is beforehand. For Yotzris, apparently, we don't have the same heter. He doesn't deal with that point exactly why not, but.
Also, it's only during the Shatz, no? I mean, anyway.
Only the Shatz is saying it.
So, anyway,
So the only the Shatz pshat, though, he wants to say that that's the third minhag, which in the Tziv says was also the minhag in the Yeshiva Valojin, which is that they would only say Piyot in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. In other words, according to the third pshat, the shatz is allowed to say piyut. And also, you can say piyut in the sense of violating the din lafushe rachami at certain special times. So for us, we could say zachareinu micha mocha, but only on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur can you say the piyutim. And once we're violating the din at special times, lafushe rachami, you can even say yotzros. Right? Because this is all, I think, if I'm putting the netziv together properly, I think this is what he meant. There is also the last few points that Rabbi Adler mentioned in his shiur is just very quickly. There was a huge controversy about the recitation of piyut at the beginning of the Reform movement. That some of the Reformers wanted to take a lot of the piyut out of the siddur. The Shuvos Zecher Yehosef has a whole discussion about taking out the Yukum Porkans. The article in the Yeshurun journal that deals with Machnisei Rachamim, right? The people who defended Machnisei Rachamim, even though it seems to violate one of the Ikari HaEmuna, people who defended Machnisei Rachamim was on the grounds that you can't take it out of the Siddur because the Reformers are trying to remove Piyutim from the Siddur. You can't be like the Reformers. It's interesting that Rosh Hashanah Rafael Hirsch, and here's the Rav in Oldenburg, took out some of the piyut from davening, and he also got rid of saying kol nidre. This is the historians spend a lot of time understanding what was going on there. Now, the last thing Rabbi Adler did in the shir is he just analyzed two piyutim, the piyut of Melech Elyon and the piyut of Yasayu Kol. He went through these piyutim just to give us a better understanding of them, and hopefully it helped our davening in Yom Narayim. Are there any questions about Rav Adler's shir? Great. Okay, let's move on to Rabbi Konigsberg's shir very quickly about Tumas Kohanim. Okay, we can actually do this very quickly. The shir, I think, is not as complicated as it initially seems. Okay, the first question that we have to deal with is it permitted for a Kohen to go to medical school? Right? To go to medical school involves being metame tameis, you're doing anatomy, gross anatomy.
Right? Doesn't help to understand the Hagdara of Tumas Kohanim before applying it.
We'll try to
structuring it differently than Rabbi Konigsberg.
We'll try to structure it a little bit differently. So in terms of Kivrei, so the question whether doctors are allowed to go to medical school, a doctor is a Kohen, or someone who's not a doctor, can someone go to medical school when he's a Kohen, really boils down to a few different shilas. The first shila is Kivrei Akom, are they Matame or not? Let's assume that it's in Chutz La'aretz, most of the cadavers that you're working on are goyim, certainly, but you can assume that the cadaver is a goy. So is Kivrei Akom Matame for Ohel? Right? Is it Kivrei Akom Matame for Ohel? Machlokis between the Rambam and Taisis. Machlokis Tanayim, Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. Machlokis Rambam and Taisis, how we paskin. Both the Machaber and the Ramah, however, assume that you should avoid this at all costs. And you should really not be Matame to Kivrei Akom.
Is there a reason why you're saying Kivrei?
That's just the Lashon HaGemara. That's what I'm saying again. Kivrei Akom is Matame Boho, not Matame Boho.
We discussed in the Shir, we discussed actual Kivarim, and we discussed bodies.
Yeah, so, wait, but in terms of Tumas Ohel on a non-Jewish corpse, so it's a machlokes hatanoim. Both the mechaber and the Ramah say that's nochol mahachmir. So lechora, there's no hefder to go to medical school. However, what's interesting is that the Dago Merivava dug up a ravid. That the ravid applies the principle of savala tuma. The ravid says that bizman hazav, once a kohen is already tamei, so becoming further tamei is permitted. Now we won't rely on the ravid on its own. But the Dago Merivava says maybe you can make a svek sveka. Suffek whether Kivrei Akom is metame or not. Suffek if you hold like the Ravid or not. Svek sveka, so it's going to be okay. And therefore you could be metame to, you can be metame to Kivrei Akom Lachora. Right? Because you're already tame. Right? Great, svek sveka. Now, Lamaisa, this won't really help going to medical school. Because of the point that you were mentioning a minute ago, that there's a difference between Tumas Ohal and Tumas Maga. The Mishnah Lamalach already points out that this Svek Sveka only helps on Tumas Ohal. When it comes to Tumas Maga, Rov Deos would be Machmir, so then there's no Heter. Okay.
Unless, of course, you don't have to touch the body to be
Machmir. Unless you don't have to touch the body if you have someone do it for you. So, Enafanami, but it's... it's not. It's still not going to be so pasha. We'll talk about it later on. To rely on this ravid is problematic for a different reason. You see, the ravid, the Node of Yehuda points out, the end of this Dago Merivava points out that, you know, maybe the ravid never said that it's heter gamor if a kohen is tummy to become tummy again. Maybe he meant that there's no malchus. Once I'm tummy, if I'm a tummy myself a second time, then there's no malchus. But it's not going to be heter gamor. The Chassam Sefer points out, and it's quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva, that this is really what the Ravid says, because we have a Sefer called the Tmim Deim, and the Ravid writes Mefurish, that this opinion is only in terms of, Malchus, it's not in terms of the Isser, It could be the Rav changed his mind. It could be the Rav always held that way. That's always a question. Dr. Soloveitchik always points out that the Rav changes his mind all the time. That's his shita. Fine. Now, Reb Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about whether it's mutter for Kohen to go and learn medicine. And Reb Moshe gets really upset. He gets really upset because the person who wrote a kuntras trying to be matiret wanted to base himself on pekuach nefesh. Of course he could go and study, be a doctor. Pekuach nefesh is doicha everything. Gevaldik. Zakter Moshe, no sir. Pekuach nefesh is doicha means if I'm a doctor, I know how to heal you, then pekuach nefesh allows me to heal you even though I'm a kohen. But to go and study to become a doctor, that's not pekuach nefesh. It's Moshe Ma'adov Dom. Moshe says this Moshe himself. Is there a chiyuv to go and become rich so that I can give a lot of tzedakah? Right? Yeah, there's a mitzvah tzedakah. I mean, if I'm rich, I have to give a lot of tzedakah. But there's no chiyuv to become rich in order to do that. Right? That's what Rav Moshe points out. It's a big problem for a kohen to go to medical school. It's mamish. It's a very, very big problem. Some poskim say that if a kohen is metame lamesim, so he loses his rights as a kohen. He can't duchen anymore. It's mamish a very big problem. Today it might be a little bit better. Today in some of the medical schools they have what's called virtual anatomy, which, not that I know, I became a rabbi, I didn't go to medical school, but you don't actually work on cadavers, you work on a virtual cadaver, I guess like Rissasa Andy or somebody. You cut her up and see what happens. Okay? So, fine.
This idea that this knas about not duchening,
yeah,
is that permanent or only after?
I think until you madir hanot not to do it again. We assume it's a mishnah in Gittin. Hanosi noshim ba'avira and matam alaysim. These are sugyas in kufa ches and it's mishnah is in Gittin. Yeah. Now, Rav Gorin zechron l'vracha had another heter why it should be okay for a kohen to go to medical school, and that's based on an interesting application. You see, there's a halacha called cheref harei ukecholol, which means that a metal item that is in an oil of a mace becomes avi avos hatuma. Usually tuma goes down a level each transference, but metal, right, we assume becomes the same as the mace. That's cheref harei ukecholol. So Zakr of Goren, well, you know, let's look in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch it says there are two opinions whether kohen's allowed to be metamed to cheref harei ukecholol, and the minhag is lahakel. Minhag is lahakel. So Zakr of Goren, now I have a great etza. What I could do is have some metal item, a spoon, a watch, which is in the mace, which is in the room when there's a mace there. Now the kohen is allowed to hold that spoon, right? But if the kohen is holding the spoon, so now the kohen is tameh completely, and then you can rely on the ravid even to touch a mace again because you're not being mosif any additional tumah. It should work even according to the Rambam, right? It should work even according to the Rambam. It can work according to everybody because kozman it's tumah b'chiburin, a mamish holding the mace, right? It's a dead spoon, but it's a mace. A mamish holding the mace, so it's tumah b'chiburin, and I can do the dissections myself. That's a tremendous chiddush of Rav Gorin. Lamaisa, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the tshuva that Rav Gorin is dead wrong, but he's not completely masbir why he is dead wrong. Rav Shechter in the Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon has a piece about the geder of Tumas Kohanim, which is a shir actually that Rav Shechter gave at the opening of the Katz Kolel. We asked the question whether it's mutter for Marcus Katz to have come and flown from Mexico to the opening of the Kolel, because Mr. Marcus Katz was a Kohen. And that was the question, you're flying over some mason. So what Rav Shechter describes in that piece is that Yesh Lafkar, what's the nature of Tumas Kohanim? Is it to make yourself Tamei? Right, that a kohen can't become tamei to a mace, or maybe it's not a din in tuma, it's a din that tamei, a kohen can't become close to a mace. Right? The Torah says, lo sikra, the Torah says, lo nefesh lo yitama, but maybe the nature of the iser is to become close to a mace. Why would I say such a thing? I'd say such a thing because of the following idea. The Shach quotes a Sefer HaRokeach, that a pregnant woman, an eshes kohen u'beres, a pregnant wife of a kohen, is allowed to go into a cemetery with the baby. Why? Because it's a spek sveka. The baby that comes out, maybe it's going to be a boy who will be a kayin who can't be metame, can't be in the cemetery. Maybe it's going to be a girl, suffix number one. Suffix number two, maybe it's going to be a nafel, so it's mutter. Spek sveka is mutter. Frek the Magen Avraham, why are you permitting it based on spek sveka? Why don't you permit it based on the halacha of tahara balua? Right? It's balua. It's mamish inside the body. So it's not going to be metame. So the ants... What? That is the Magen Avraham's kasha on the Sefer HaRokeach. The Shach quotes the Rokeach, the Magen Avraham quotes the Rokeach. The Magen Avraham asks on the Rokeach, why do you need to say spek sveka? Typically because it's balua and balua is not going to be metame. So Rebbe Chanan Wasserman and the Achi Yezer and the Pchayim Moizer both give the same answer. They say, no, Tahara Bula won't help because Tahara Bula is taken not Tame, but the lumdus of Tumas Kohanim is not that the Isser is to become Tame, the Isser is to become close to Tuma, to come close to a mace. So even though I'm not going to be Tame because I'm Bula, I'm inside the person, but not for the Svek Sveka, not for the fact that maybe it's a girl and maybe it's a Nafel, so then... If not for the fact that of the Svek Sveka, so it would be also because it's kreva to a maze. Interestingly, Rabbi Konigsberg pointed out, and I believe that Rav Shechter actually passes this way. You have to ask Tani Cohen, Shechter's son-in-law is a Kohen. So I believe that when Mrs. Cohen is pregnant, she is told not to go near Mesim because Bizman has it, it's Eshel Avure Bakal, no? You could find out. What's a spek sveka? Maybe it's a boy, maybe it's a girl. Boy. You could do a sonogram. And we don't apply spek sveka whenever it's Eshel Avure Bakal. You don't rely on the spek sveka. So that's an interesting point. Okay. Now, if we assume, like this Shtikl Torah for Bochonon and Reb Chaim Ozer, the Isser of Tumas Mesis Kreva, so then we could have a heter for the Shiloh flying over the cemeteries. Right? What's the heter? The heter is if you're really, really high up, or Shach has a piece in the Sefer, he thinks if it means that you're above the clouds, whatever that's supposed to mean. It doesn't speak, as far as I know, about the levels of the clouds, the different layers of clouds. But if you're above the clouds, so you're very far away, that's not called krev olamais. That's not called krev olamais. That's a heter. Now, oy bazoy, once we say that we have this chakira, krev olamais, tum olamais, so now we understand why Rav Gorin's Eitzah doesn't work. Because Rav Gorin Zaitz says that what? That you should hold the spoon that was in contact with the dead guy. This spoon creates tumas mace. But there's no krev ala mace with cherev hariyo kecholol. The reason why we're making cherev hariyo kecholol is because we assume, right, the nahagul haka by cherev kecholol, because we assume the isser is krev ala mace. So it won't help me dissect the cadaver now, because that would be krev ala mace, and my spoon wasn't krev ala mace. Fine. In terms of whether Kohen, that's the first shaila. Can a Kohen study in medical school to become a doctor? Next shaila, can a Kohen visit a hospital? Here the poskim are mekal in Chutz La'aretz. A Kohanim can visit hospitals. But there's two caveats that you have to have. One is that Kohen can only visit the hospital if you know that, or not if you know, but if you do not know that there is a dead person there. If you know that there is a dead person there, so then it's going to be a problem.
If you know there's a dead guy.
So let's go slowly. Even a dead guy, we assume that you're not allowed to be metame to mesei akum. So usually we were going to rely on some sveikos. Most of the people are akum. So even though we try not to be metame to mesei akum, right, that it's nachon lahachmir, it says in Shulchan Aruch, but lamaisa, there are shitas to be mekel. And if it's a suffix, you could be mekel. A suffix in Chutz La'aretz, you could be mekel. Most of the mesim that will be in the hospital will be non-Jews. Do you have to concern yourself with self-tumalatzeis and all these things? Well, that's, yeah, in the situation when you know that there's a dead person, so you have to be worried about all these self-tumalatzeis, that the halacha is that we treat, whether it's in derais, halacha moshemisina, whether it's in derabanan, there's a din self-tumalatzeis, if the tumah will go out, so you assume the tumah is there already, that if you know there's a mace in the building, then you have to concern yourself with that. But if it's a suffix, then the Kohen is allowed to go and be mevaker chole, especially Rav Moshe says in cases that it's mishum shalom hamishpacha, or cases that it would create tsar to the chole if you don't come, so vad it's permitted to go into the hospital. He says that kol lefi ha'inyan. Each case you have to look at on its own. Now it is important to note that there is one caveat in this, discussion, which is that it's usher to go into the room with a goseis. Both the Mechaber and the Rama Paskin, that's usher to go into the room with a goseis. Now, yeah. If Rabbi Konitzer did not say it like this, but if you look in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Ayin, so both the Mechaber and the Rama Paskin, that's usher to go into the room with a goseis. At least it's a tov lahachmir. The Rama quotes Yesh Matirim, the tov lahachmir. Okay, we're not going to have time to finish up this year. The last thing is just cars and Ohel Zaruk, so we'll talk about that, I guess, next time we learn. But let's go in Davin Nairiv now. I think this should be most of that year.